You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane. Today, Jane, we're going to talk about the current mortgage rates. And we're privileged to have with us a returning guest, Joe Urcioli of First Team Mortgage. Joe, I want to give you a warm welcome to our show.
Thanks, Ken and Jane. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
All right, great. So let's get started. Let's do a comparative analysis on the mortgage rates in comparison from December, when they were like at an all-time low of 3%, to June, of where they went as high as over 6%, and then they've gradually dipped back down. So we're gonna get this out of the way first, and then we're gonna go and talk about we're gonna put a positive spin on it, look at like the glass half full as opposed to half empty, because there's a lot of buying opportunities, a lot of good things that could happen out of the slowdown in the housing market. It's not all doom and gloom. But let's just get the numbers out of the way first. So if we took like a $400,000 conventional loan back in December, and let's say you were a high quality borrower and you qualified to borrow at 3%, and if you took a $400,000 loan then versus, let's say, in June when they were close to 6%, doubled, what effect did that have on your monthly payment?
Great question. Great question, Ken. So basically what you're looking at on a 30-year fix today compared to December is basically about $600 to $700 a month difference in a monthly payment. What does that equate to in purchase price power? Potential is $100,000 to $125,000. So basically if you were looking at a house back in December, And you didn't get it and you missed the opportunity, and you're looking now in June or even this summer, it's possible that you might have to take a haircut on that purchase price of $100,000 to $125,000.
That's a big number.
It is.
A big number. First of all, Ken, we have to, see, first time you came on the show, that's the beginning. Look at the studio now. It's very different, right?
I love this.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah, that's really good. And Ken, I have to warn all the audience out there, right? Before they enjoy your show, they really need a 2 cups of strong coffee and to listen to your math. Yeah. And the guys out there, if you hate math, right, don't worry. Yeah. Later, we'll have the other part of it. There's no exam after this test.
We should have warned them to have at least 2 cups of coffee. And don't go to Starbucks, because with the inflation, everything, you probably can't afford the cup there.
That's right.
We're going to talk a little bit about inflation.
That's right. Yes.
So we got the bad out of the way, and obviously the rates have gone up, so the borrowing power has gone down, because your borrowers aren't going to qualify for the same purchase price because their monthly payment has gone down. And also, I think the data shows that the average loans have gone down in the last year. Like, it dropped about 40, 50,000. I guess that's a direct reflection of the higher interest rates.
Correct. Correct. But
out of all this, I mean, it's not all doom and gloom. Because
it's not.
Even the Fed chairman said at his most recent June meeting was that the housing market the inventory is still tight. So the housing market hasn't necessarily dropped, but the anticipation is that it will stabilize and maybe not increase. So I think out of this, you're going to see less and less bidding wars, less over asking pricing, less buyers waiving the appraisal contingency and the home inspection rights. So there'll be some positive good that'll come out of this for the buyers, and maybe they can actually get the home that they really want to get.
No, you're absolutely right. Right now, the buyers, the way they perceive it is they don't want a high interest rate or a perceived high interest rate, and they don't want to have to overpay on a house by $50,000, $60,000 in a 10-person bidding war. So what they're doing right now is they're kind of waiting. It's a waiting game.
Yeah.
And what we're thinking is the recession's going to come. It's just a matter of time. It's a horse race. Inflation was June 10th. Now they're fearing, the depression part. So basically what's going to happen, the recession part, the recession is going to make interest rates come down. Okay. Just today, the bond market is very favorable. So when the interest rates come down, more and more people are going to come out. Mm-hmm. Okay. My theory personally is listings. The more the listings are out there, the better off these buyers are going to be, because they're going to be in great shape. The market, it's going to stabilize, and they're going to be able to start going, maybe instead of going 30 to 50,000 over asking, maybe they can go 25 to 35,000 under asking. You know, maybe a house might need a new kitchen. Maybe it might need an updated bathroom. So now they're able to maybe get a better deal because there's not a lot of buyers out there, because a lot of people put everything on hold.
I totally agree. Recently, there's definitely more inventory came to the market, as we can see. I think most likely is some sellers realized it. They missed the heist. But a lot of people think I think people do something right. People want to get the gain is obviously right. People want to do something. But I think the most thing get people out of the chair, do something, is they worry about what they're going to lose. That's really more for the seller. Before, it doesn't matter what you say. The seller says, oh, let me think about it. Now, when they turn on the TV, hear the news, the market is going down, way down, and the interest rate going up, and the market is quiet and everything else, a lot of seller was suddenly motivated. Certainly, I personally see that happen in Central Jersey. By seeing every day, there's a new listing come to the market, right? Myself, it's the same. I mean, some sellers, you talk to them, they say, yes, let me think about it. Now suddenly they want to put on the market. There's one home, right? I've been working with a seller for 2 years. You would think 2 years, right? They want to sell, I went to the home multiple times. But they always say, you know, what's the rush? The market is going up. But just as soon as June that happened, I got a phone call, and we put a house on market this week. And actually today is the open house day.
Awesome.
So, you know, a lot of sellers feel, oh my God, did I miss the boat? I said, well, the fast train, luxury train went out of the station about a minute ago, but we have a second, luxury train.
Yeah.
And if you sell today, what would happen if I sell today? I always tell the seller, if you sell today, you get less than yesterday, but you get more than tomorrow. If that's the case, put the home on the market now, and with a reasonable expectation of the price, that's the key. Yes.
You're so right. When we walked in here, I was telling Ken, I read something the other day, and it was more of a meme, but it was real. And it said, this is what it said. It said, the person that bought in 2008 at 6.5% now has $500,000 in equity.
Mm-hmm.
The person that waited and said, oh, the rate's too high, has nothing.
You know,
that says a lot.
Joe, I can tell you, right, in my personal experience, I bought a house many, many years ago, right, when I was young. If I tell you the reason, you will laugh. My girlfriend and I, we both, you know, in college and working, we both share two-bedroom condo. We rent. My girlfriend announced engagement. So obviously, after that, I'm going to get married, going to move in with a new husband. So at that point, I have to think, what should I do? Should I rent one bedroom condo, pay a little more? I mean, or I find another roommate to have a two-bedroom and, to find a new roommate. But I'm very picky on roommates.
Yeah.
So I really, that was my best friend. So I went to the real estate company, want to rent. And the guy was the outside smoke and said, why you want to rent? You can buy it. The market is low, blah, 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 blah. I said, really? He said, if you buy a house, your mortgage will be cheaper than the rent. I didn't believe him. So he took me seriously. He said, come in the car. Today, I will never get in someone's car.
Yeah.
But that time, I didn't know better. I went in his car, went to see a house. First house I saw, I bought it. Okay? I bought that first house at 13% interest rate. And, you know, at that time, I didn't know better. I didn't know REIT could be 4 or 5. I just thought 13 was market. I didn't even think about the interest rate. I just went to the branch manager, and confirmed he didn't lie to me because I didn't know him. I was young. I was in the college. So, and I'm working full-time, support myself too. So I asked the manager how much I have to pay. When she told me the monthly payment, I was stunned. I said, truly, it's cheaper than the rent. I said, how that be? And he looked at me, he tried to explain to me, but that time I was too young to understand the theory behind it.
Right.
But long story short, right, I bought that house in a very low price at 13%. Very soon, in a few years, right, I sold that house. I mean, actually, it was a big lot. I was successful, subdivided, and built a brand new home at the back and sold the front and funded the home, the building, and then sold the back. I mean, nothing for nothing. I was very young. I made like $400, $500.
Yeah.
Very young age. I had no, I had a zero mortgage. People say, how did you do that, Jane? I wasn't born rich family. It's just the right time because I need to
the right chance.
Yeah, I took the chance.
Yep.
So as you said, I mean, the people did bought it, had a half million. People did get nothing.
Yep.
That's what I did. Not because interest. I wasn't smart. I wasn't really educated. I didn't understand. I only understand one principle. If I buy, my monthly cost is cheaper than the rent.
Yes.
Plus, I build up equity. I own the house. I do whatever I want. I can have a dog. I want to have a dog. So I could have my first German Shepherd. I can adopt the dog from shelter. So that's all me check on my boxes. So I bought my first house. You know what? That's the best decision I ever made in my life. One of them. I mean, marry my husband, have my daughter. That's all on the list, right?
Right.
That's one of the good decisions.
That's right. There you go. I think the federal chairman said it best. He said, basically, the interest rates are now normal or, you know, maybe a little bit higher than normal. But the problem is that a lot of the buyers got, quote, spoiled
yes.
by the historically low interest rates that we had during the pandemic. So everybody's used to having, you know, their gravy and their cake and
Correct.
Eating it, too. So really, like as Jane just elaborated on that, you know, on her story, basically at below 6%, which we're at now, the interest rates are still pretty damn good. I mean,
yes.
they're not the super great, but I mean, they're still it's still very manageable to get a house, pay the P&I, you're building equity. You're it's better than renting if you can afford to, you know, carry the mortgage, and then you're at 6% or less, it's a win-win.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. We talked about this off camera a little bit where there's a lot of positives on buying a home, whether it's at 3% or it's at below 6%.
Or 13%.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Why don't we take a short break? We got to go to commercial and we'll be right back after these messages.
A two-story building, approximately 5,100 square feet, with private offices and open spaces located in prime downtown New Brunswick, is available for lease. Yes, come on down and take a look. The building is zoned community commercial and has many permitted uses, including office, art gallery, theater, and music studio. To learn more about this property and more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. A state-of-the-art building, approximately 3,000 square feet with a backup generator and plenty of parking, is available for lease. Located on the main thoroughfare in Hamilton Township, the building is zoned highway commercial and is suitable for retail, medical, office, education, and much more. To find out more and see if it fits your business and your needs, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. Attention to developers and contractors. Over 3 acres of land located at the heart of East Brunswick is up for sale. Great location and lots of potential. For further details, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. You are listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, welcome back. We're joined by Joe Urcioli of First Team Mortgage. Joe, before I forget, please give us your contact information in case any of our listeners want to get a mortgage.
Absolutely. So the best way to contact me would be my cell phone number, which is 908-307-2374. If you'd like to email me, it's Joe, J-O-E, at firstteamhomemortgage.com. I'll just repeat that. It's Joe at firstteamhomemortgage.com. Thanks.
Yeah. I have to say, right, I know Joe for a long time. I have to say, all my clients are so happy with you because you're so knowledgeable and you guide them the right way, and then you're very patient. And you always put their best interest at the heart.
Can I add something else, Jane? He's also very responsive. Joe can be out to dinner with his wife and his family on a Friday night. he'll even give you the courtesy response to say, hey, I'm at dinner now. Let me get back to you in a couple hours. And a couple hours later, he will get back to you.
That's very dedicated and responsive, are two additional traits.
So,
thank you. I appreciate that. Early on in my career, I used to ask what was the best thing I could possibly do to help you, and they just be accessible. Be accessible.
That's it. Absolutely. All right. So let's continue on the benefits of home ownership. We covered the rates went up. Okay. That's part of life. They go up, they go down. We covered the fact that home ownership is a great thing because you're building equity. Let's talk, Joe, about the tax deductibility aspect of mortgage interest on your residence.
Yeah. So just to give you an idea, obviously, the higher the interest rate, the higher the mortgage interest is going to be accrued over the first year and so on the second year. But on a 30-year fixed rate, a lot of the interest is all up front. It's all preloaded in the first couple years of a 30-year fixed. So just to give you an example, you could write off, you know, $24,000 off your taxes and put you into a lower tax bracket, which in turn is going to get you a higher tax refund just by owning a house. Wow. You know, so it's very, very important. I believe personally on my taxes, speaking factually, the interest accrued on a mortgage is your biggest tax deduction.
Yeah, it's your biggest tax deduction on Schedule A.
Right. Especially now that with the principal residence, with the new federal laws, they limit the property tax deduction to $10,000. That was something that was instituted
for the property tax,
but the mortgage interest doesn't have a cap on it, right?
It does not.
So that's a great thing.
Yeah.
So the more it's true, you're going to be paying a higher mortgage interest because the rates went up, but by the same token, you're going to get some of that back.
You're
going to capture
it
back in writing it off, and so you get a tax deduction.
Correct.
Depending on what your tax bracket is. So it's not all as bad as it sounds.
Correct.
As we're covering.
And like you said, Ken, you could also, in addition to the mortgage interest, you can write off the property taxes up to $10,000 as well. So that's another write-off that you're getting that puts you into a lower tax bracket. Let's face it, we all earn, we all have careers, we all get zonked on taxes, and we try to, you know, eliminate some of that by having write-offs, legitimate write-offs. Owning a home has two of the biggest legitimate write-offs that you can
have. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
And also, as you mentioned earlier, the interest rate is high. First of all, it depends which benchmark you use.
Correct.
If you use my 13%, you get a great bargain. You only pay half. 6% is more than half.
Yeah.
You know, and secondly, recession seems like on the card now. And if recessions happened, probably Fed have to reduce the interest to fix that problem.
Yes, totally.
Obviously, after they can get control over the inflation first. And you can always refinance. That's
correct.
Why in 2020, 2021, you guys so busy. Majority, big chunk of the business refinance.
We call it the refinance boom.
Right.
But that's faded on hold. Faded. But then, you know, that's faded.
Right now, we're strictly in a purchase market.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple refinances out there, but it's strictly if somebody may want maybe cash out and maybe missed a boat, maybe missed an opportunity and they're still hovering around 5%. They may want to refinance now if they were looking for cash.
Yeah.
Here's a question I have for you, Joe. We know the Fed's going to meet four more times. They're going to meet in July, September, November, and December. And I've been reading from my sources tell me that they could raise their lending rate by up to two additional points. That's all speculation based on whatever economists are crunching the numbers. And it's going to also depend upon how the inflation data comes out in June. Like in May, it came out at 8.6%. So hence the Fed met in June and they said, hey, inflation's way out of hand. We got to raise it by 75 basis points. However, I heard that the long-term lenders, there may not necessarily be any more rate hikes. The market could have already adjusted itself. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, so basically what happens is when the lenders read about this in the news, the secondary markets of the lenders that basically dictate the margins and their pricing and whatnot behind the scenes, when they hear and read about this, what they try to do is they try to get ahead of it and they try to raise their rates in increments. So basically last Wednesday, when the rates got hiked up by 0.75%, most lenders had that priced into their rate sheet 2 weeks prior. So they didn't jump up in 0.75%, because that would be a huge sticker shock to most folks. So most of them, you know, try to do it ahead of time in increments. They try to do it on their pricing sheets because they know it's coming. They know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I remembered this time when June raised on Wednesday, but Monday, we obviously got quite a few offers on the weekend. Monday, I was told the rate went up in the morning, the rate went up in the afternoon. Yeah. So there wasn't a Fed. Fed is Wednesday. There was Monday. It's like, you know. And by the end of Monday, I already had a buyer agent contact me, withdraw the offer because the buyer no longer qualified. Mm-hmm. And some withdraw because the buyer got shocked and confused. They Correct. Don't know what's next. So put a hold on everything. So Monday was like, I would call it Bloody Monday. That was like, and the Wednesday after the Fed announced it, it seems like market went up a little bit more. And then after that, it came down. So which is great. I mean, at the end of the day, right, from Monday to Thursday, market was really confusing. And
June 10th was the worst.
Yeah, the worst, exactly.
Just walking in here today, like when we were talking off camera, I got a lot of alerts for services that I pay for, basically saying that they're lowering them. The bonds rallying a little bit better today. Mm-hmm. And it's they're going to lower it. If I could predict, they're probably going to be hovering around that 5.5 mark for a little bit.
You know what? I mean, yeah. I feel the market will go up temporarily, like this time up and down, right? But later on, I think it's around the end of the year, I think probably keep below 6 or 6.
Yeah.
And in that case, the real estate market shouldn't get affected that badly.
It shouldn't, considering what we talked about.
Yeah.
1985, average rate 12.4. 1997, 9.49.
Yeah.
You know, even in 2018, the average rate was 4.5.
Yes.
So, you know, did we have a little bit in the past 2 years we were all spoiled?
Right.
We were all spoiled.
Yeah.
The hardest people it's affecting right now is the younger generation, because they don't know any better.
Yeah.
And when they don't know any better, it's our jobs to educate them.
Yeah.
It's our jobs to educate them.
Yeah. And with housing prices, like we touched upon this, they may stabilize and may go down a little bit, but not necessarily a lot, because of the fact that it's all the supply demand. The demand is still out there. It's still exceeding the supply. So regardless of the rates going up, creeping up, it's still kind of becoming more of a neutral market, maybe slightly a buyer's market right now. Wouldn't you say, Jane? It's not necessarily.
I think it's more mutual market. But, and, you know, I mean, the interest rate, it didn't go up that substantially from the history point of view.
Yeah.
If you ask, like Joe said, the young people, they thought, you know, 4 is pretty much they used to, and 2.75 is yay.
Yes.
But 6, oh my God. But for me, I mean, my first mortgage 13%. Anything below 13 is money in my pocket.
Yeah. Like the younger generation has to overcome the fact that they're not going to get 2.75. So the ones that want to wait and think that they're going to come back down to 2.75, maybe they'll wait for 6 months and realize they won't, and then they might start shopping.
Yeah,
right. So it's a lot of it is speculation, because we really don't know. There's a certain amount of the buyer pool that's sitting right now deciding, well, do I jump in or do I wait? But there might be, just like with the sellers are saying, oh, I better sell my house now because otherwise the rates are going up and hence my price could go down. There might be buyers saying, oh, darn, if I don't jump in now, the Fed's meeting 4 more times, they could raise the rate, so I better lock in now. So you could get a wave of buyers going into the market now. These are all undecided things. So really no one, no matter how educated or how the economists can't predict it, they can look at the data. Like even the Fed will look at the data from June and look at the inflation indexes, and then they'll make a decision. Do we raise it half a point, or do we raise it 3/4 of a point? So it's all, a lot of it's speculation. We don't know how the public's going to react. More or less like a stock. You don't know. You kind of predict how things are going to go, but you never know what the market is. You never know which way it's going to go.
It's perceived value. It's perceived value.
So it's a perception. What is the perception? What is the buyer perception out there about the rates? Are they going to go up or down? If they think they're going to go up, then I would think the buyers are going to want to jump in.
Jump in. And if they go down, they're going to jump in even more. So it's hard to predict which way, you know, it's perceived value. In the mortgage industry, we have a saying, don't sell rate, sell the payment. sell the payment.
The payment
because
driven.
The payment's the most important thing to budget for the buyer. Right. So, you know, on a $400,000 loan rate now at say 6%, you're looking at what, almost $2,400 just for principal and interest. And then you add in the taxes, the insurance. If they're only putting 5% down, you have mortgage insurance. Mm-hmm. So it's all about, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit. We're going to talk about how myself personally, how I calculate debt to income ratios and make sure it fits the budget for the borrower.
Okay, let's cover that now, Joe. We only have a few more minutes left. So let's talk about debt to equity ratio. What is a normal benchmark for how much debt you can have in relation to equity, and how you guys, if you can give it, wrap it up in about 2 minutes. Thanks.
So basically, a debt ratio is the most important part to a mortgage loan officer because for the real estate agent, because that dictates the purchasing power for the buyer.
Yes.
And how is a debt ratio, how is it derived? Basically, you got to take your proposed mortgage with everything, principal, interest, taxes, insurance. Maybe there's mortgage insurance, plus the minimum payments on the credit report of all the liabilities that they have. Make believe they have an auto loan at 500. Mm-hmm. Make believe they have a couple student loans. We take a 0.5% of the student loan balance, add that as the minimum payment. That is the numerator. That basically, if you add in the proposed mortgage plus all the other debts that they have, minimum payments, you divide that by the gross monthly income. Okay. So whatever, if they have $100,000 salary divided by 12, that's the denominator. If you take that and divide it out accordingly, the rule of thumb is on conventional loans and Freddie, they don't want it to exceed 50%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they basically don't want your gross income to exceed 50%, you know, of your total. So, you know, FHA allows you to go to 56. So they allow you to go a little bit higher. So FHA is a little bit more lenient in that aspect.
Yeah.
But we talked about perceived value and we talked about monthly payments. No matter what, when they talk to me and I do a pre-approval for a customer, the payment's going to be based off of what their budget is. So they're not going to be able to buy a house that they can't afford.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
That's all good stuff.
Yeah.
Let's do one more thing, Joe. Give me your not-to-do list.
Oh,
once you take out a pre-approval, I know Joe's got a list of things. Do not, under any circumstances, no.
I'll rattle them off
real quick.
Don't buy an automobile. do not transfer money from different accounts. If you transfer money, it's more paperwork on you, and it's more the underwriter. It's more confusing for the underwriting. Don't go out and buy furniture. Don't go out and splurge on credit cards. If you're taking a vacation, let me know ahead of time, especially if you're going to put it on a credit card. Because the day before closing, we do a refresh credit report. It's not to see if your scores went up or down. It's to see if you incurred any new debt. And if you did, that may have an impact on getting your loan closed the next day because you may not qualify. So don't incur any new debt. Don't transfer money back and forth from different accounts at all. If you have a savings account and you want to put money from savings into checking because you're checking, that's the only way you can write checks, don't do that. Just go to the bank and get a certified check right out of your savings account or a bank check right out of your savings account. Do not transfer money. Very, very important.
Yeah, very important. All great stuff. Once again, Joe, please give your contact information in case anybody needs to reach out to you for a mortgage loan.
Joe, J-O-E, at firstteamhomemortgage.com is my email address. And the best way to contact me anytime is my cell phone number at 908-307-2374. And I'm a big advocate for texting, so you could text me at any time as well.
Yep, 24/7. That's right. Joe, we want to thank you so much for coming on our show and taking time out of your busy schedule. That's a wrap for today. We'll see everyone next week. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.